Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the count out.
Wait.
What?
It's not called the count out.
Count out.
There you go.
You're being counted out. This is the only pro wrestling podcast where people count things down.
That we know of.
That we know of. Definitely the only one here at youtube.com/Steven Larson.
That is true.
We're also available wherever fine podcasts are available, including iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Stitcher,
Podbean, SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.com/Steven Larson. One day we'll be on the Spotify.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
2016, it's coming to an end.
What day is this airing? This is airing this weekend, right?
Yeah, this is Saturday.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, 2016 is
still
coming
a couple of weeks left
so
in the year.
So we are now officially in the area where we're starting to talk about 2016. We decided, look, we're not gonna look at wrestlers, the best wrestlers of the year. We're going to say which wrestlers had the best year.
Yeah. Number 10.
Number 10.
The Miz.
Yes.
Highlight of his year, easily the KFC commercial with Dolph Ziggler.
Look, that was amazing. That was really good. But that also was sort of indicative of where Miz's career kind of was pre-brand split.
A little bit. So that's the pivot.
That was, well, the brand split was the pivot.
But it was after the commercial that he dropped that promo on Talking Smack, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
That was right after.
So The Miz was pre-brand split. He was IC champion that nobody really wanted.
Well, Zack Ryder won the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania in the ladder match.
Yeah.
The very next day on Raw, The Miz beat him for it.
Yeah.
And The Miz has more or less, apart from dropping it to Dolph for what seemed like a matter of weeks, mm-hmm. a couple weeks, has been the Intercontinental champion ever since.
And from the brand split on, by virtue of the fact that SmackDown's mid-card is virtually non-existent, that gave him a huge room to shine. And on an episode of Smacking Talk.
The August 23rd edition, according to Scoops Notes here.
We got Scoops Notes here. He basically gave sort of a work shoot promo where he eviscerates Daniel Bryan as a quitter and saying that, you know what, because Daniel Bryan called him soft, a soft style of wrestling. A wrestler, and Miz said, I wrestle the way I do so that I'm always here, so I'm not hurt, and I've been here every single day, and you say that, you know, your style of wrestling is the best, but it's not, because look at you now.
And he told him to go back to the bingo halls if you really want to wrestle.
Exactly. So we've got some of our Scoops notes
here.
Well,
I should say that promo made waves, not just in the wrestling industry, but it got a little bit of attention.
Dude, like our Twitter blew up. Everybody was saying, oh my God, look at this. And yeah, it was fantastic. And from there, he had a candidate for Feud of the Year with Dolph Ziggler.
He definitely had a Match of the Year candidate, their match at No Mercy.
No Mercy.
Which was fantastic.
Which we saw live.
Which should have been the blow-off match of their feud.
And that's the only sort of... The only hitch to this particular year for The Miz, for his run, was after No Mercy, they really should have elevated him to the next level some way, somehow.
And we thought we were going to see that this last week on SmackDown, where he more or less challenged AJ Styles.
Which was great, and then they split that up, and instead they just did a swaparoo where you have Dean Ambrose now facing The Miz. And that's a disappointment to me, because I think that Dean Ambrose, look... People criticized us in the last episode of the SmackDown Going In Raw, because like, oh, we like Dean Ambrose... I'm fine with Dean Ambrose. I just think that I know what's going to happen with him and Miz. And Dean Ambrose is going to come out on top, and the Miz is going to be languishing still in the upper mid card. And I think the Miz challenging AJ Styles, saying that I made, because he has a legitimate claim that he has made something really good, something really big out of the IC title. And that's why his 2016 was so big. It's because, man, Miz has really organically elevated himself to that next level.
Yeah.
And when he calls out AJ and says, I'm above your level, nobody's laughing.
Yeah.
That there a case could be made. Now, I don't think for one second that Miz is the wrestler that AJ is, but in terms of the storyline, in terms of that universe, I think that the Miz has a claim to that. Mm-hmm. At least, you know, I understand why he's saying that. So Miz.
Good year for the Miz.
Really,
we got an interview
really good year.
At a SummerSlam.
A professional.
Yes. Good interview. Yep. Very good interview.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It says here also in the Scoops notes. He did. He co-hosted 1 week with Renee Young on Talking Smack.
But he went by his
very
name.
It was very silly, but it was very funny. He's also responsible for bringing back the Spirit Squad. So, again,
he might really be higher on this list.
Yeah, but if that hadn't happened. But that, yeah. So I predict he's going to have a big. What do you think for 2017 for The Miz?
I mean, I don't really see anybody taking the IC title off him. I don't know if Dean will.
It's weird. We said this before.
It feels like, I mean, like
it's Dean, a step down for Dean.
Yeah, Dean feels like he's above the Intercontinental title at this point.
But then I think Miz feels like he's above. I feel like Miz should be above Dean.
Yeah. Roman Reigns. When Rusev had the U.S. title, it was when Raw didn't have a top belt.
Mm-hmm.
It's when they were leading up to the Universal Championship at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So for those weeks between the brand split, and SummerSlam, U.S. title was a top belt on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And they treated it as such because they main evented multiple episodes. And Rusev had it, and he was starting a feud with Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
Rusev having that belt, and to a certain degree, Reigns feuding with him for said belt in the main event of Raw really elevated that title.
Yeah.
And now that Roman Reigns has the U.S. title, they're kind of treating that as a secondary world championship
right,
on Raw.
Right. Yeah, no, they totally are, yeah. I mean, he's consistently booked stronger than Kevin Owens.
Yeah. Let's talk about Roman Reigns' year. It's been an up-and-down year for Reigns, good and bad.
He could be on the worst list as well.
Could be.
Maybe.
Watch tomorrow and find out.
Find out.
But let's focus on the good for Reigns.
Yes, for sure.
So it was the end of 2015 when he beat Sheamus for the WWE title.
And then he defended that, or he lost it in the Rumble.
Yes.
Because the Rumble, his belt was up for grabs in the Rumble. He lost it to Triple H.
Yeah, that's kind of a low point for him.
That was a low point. And then he won it back from Triple H.
At WrestleMania, also kind of a low point for him. Which wasn't a good match.
He won the match, but it was a low point. It was a bad match. But he won the title at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So
I think by virtue of the fact that Reigns, apart from maybe a month and a half after he got suspended,
mm-hmm.
Was probably the most solidly pushed wrestler
on
the main roster throughout the year.
If any,
just by virtue of that, he has earned himself a spot on who's had the best
for people out there who are Roman Reigns fans. You guys have had a great year.
Yeah.
You know,
and I don't, when I say that, it's not to discredit Reigns' work. Because we've been critical of his promo ability and the fact that he sells inconsistently and wears the vest.
Yeah.
But he's had some fantastic matches. He's had two matches against AJ Styles.
Fantastic.
Really good.
Yeah.
The Survivor Series match he was in
mm-hmm.
this year, the traditional Survivor Series match, was very good.
Very good.
He's had some good matches. His match against Seth Rollins at Money in the Bank
very
was good.
Yeah, very good.
Granted, he got suspended right after that. But then, you know, he took some clean pins. He ate three or four pins. And then he was put right into the program with Rusev, won mm-hmm. the belt at, what's the pay-per-view after SummerSlam? Not Hell in the Cell, Clash of Champions.
Yeah.
I believe it was there he won the belt. Yeah, because he retained it at Hell in the Cell. And he is being treated as, without a doubt, top face on Raw,
mm-hmm.
and is kind of the 1B champion to the Universal Titles 1A.
His punishment for the wellness policy violation was very short-lived.
Yes.
And it amounted to a couple, like you said, eating a couple of clean pins
and
Stephanie berating him in front of people. But, you know, like you said, right after that, they started the Roman Reigns push again.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people, you know, Seth Rollins came to his defense, you know, out of character, he came to his defense about that and said that he's a locker room leader. And I seem to think that 2017 is going to be another big year for Roman Reigns.
That tribute to the troops the other night, they made it pretty clear that they want Reigns to be the next John Cena.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he opened the show with a promo.
And that could be either good. I think,
and delivered a very Cena-esque promo.
I honestly think, dude, I think we're getting to, and maybe this is me being optimistic, but I like to think that we're getting to the point where everything he's been through, it's really starting to come together for him. His promos have felt smoother.
They've gotten better.
He's felt more comfortable.
He actually,
his selling's been better.
At Tribute to the Troops, he sold a couple spots really well.
At the last, what did he have that I thought he was selling pretty good? He had a match, I think it was on that Raw, that was that really, really good Raw. Who did he fight? Was it Jericho?
No, that must have been the one where he fought Owens then.
Maybe it was Owens. And he was selling really good. Like, I thought he was doing a good job. It was, No, wait a second. Which one was it where he got super kicked by Owens, codebreakered by Jericho? So he fought Jericho. That's what it was. Mm. He fought Jericho. And besides the fact that he ate all that and then still kicked out, was bullshit. But
so 2 weeks ago,
through the course of the match, he was selling pretty
good. Yeah.
Let's see here. So, yeah, Roman Reigns. Good 2016. I think that, I mean, look, the bottom line is whether you like him or not, we're stuck with him. He's going to be forced on us.
Yeah.
I don't foresee a heel turn for him anytime soon.
No.
Like you said, they want him in the next Cena. It's just a matter of, can Roman continue to learn how to sell properly? Can he continue to be comfortable on the mic? And I think that the more they push him out there, the more reps he's going to get, the better he's going to be. So hopefully good things will happen.
We should also mention that Reigns earned the top spot in the PWI Top 500 this year.
He did.
Yeah. Huge honor.
Big honor.
Huge honor.
Good honor.
Yes.
Number eight.
Eight.
Adam Cole, baby! So he recently just lost the Ring of Honor Heavyweight Championship to Kyle O'Reilly. He's sort of recognized as, according to Scoop's notes here, some believe Cole is one of the greatest wrestling workers in North America who isn't part of the WWE. And by all indications, Vince is really high on Adam Cole, so it seems to be just a matter of time. He doesn't seem to be in a big hurry.
Yeah.
But he's really establishing himself. I wonder how much he's going to follow, because I could see him trying to follow maybe in the footsteps of Kenny Omega, because their careers are sort of on parallel paths in their respective companies right now.
Yeah.
And so, granted, he just lost a world championship, but it makes you wonder if, number one, I don't know what his contract situation is with Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But you know, they have that working arrangement with New Japan.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll, you know, instigate some further crossover.
Well, let's talk about some of Adam Cole's highlights for the year.
Okay.
You mentioned, I think you did, him joining the Bullet Club.
Yeah, he joined the Bullet Club on May 8th. Global Wars on May 8th. That was like huge, huge news. That was a big deal. Because he's been a foundation of Ring of Honor for a very long time.
Yeah. What year did he first win the Ring of Honor title?
Oh, man.
Is it 2012 or 2013?
I want to say 13.
Something like that.
I want to say
2013. Speaking of the title, he won it for the second time this year, defeating Jay Lethal,
mm-hmm.
who had the belt for more than a year.
Mm-hmm. This is interesting, though. It says he was the first member of the Bullet Club to be inducted on U.S. soil. I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
And at the time, he had almost no ties to New Japan, of course, because of that working arrangement. He's defended he's gone over there a couple times to fight. I like that Scoop says he is excited as hell about being in the Bullet Club. That much is obvious, because as soon as he joined the Bullet Club, it was everything that it was all Bullet Club. He was like Captain Bullet Club all of a sudden. It was great. Let's see here. At Death Before Dishonor 14, Adam Cole won the Ring of Honor World Championship for the second time. He's only the third man to hold the belt twice. This was after he was defeated, after he defeated Jay Lethal, who had like a record-setting run.
Yeah. And he lost the belt to Kyle O'Reilly recently at mm-hmm. Final Battle on That's December right. 2nd. You've seen that match.
Did I watch that one?
I thought you did.
I
thought you did.
No.
Oh, okay.
Did I?
I thought you did.
Evidently, it was not that memorable. I think I watched... No, I didn't. I didn't watch that.
Oh, okay.
I think I watched everything but that main... No, I had to stop during the... I had to stop during the Silas Young. I never picked it up after Silas Young.
Oh, yeah?
I watched the previous pay-per-view because I watched it for Ladder Wars.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was just kept on buffering.
It's annoying.
You know, I don't need to get their shit together. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
And we should mention, too, and we'll probably mention this again on another list coming up soon,
mm-hmm.
about his match in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla,
mm-hmm.
whereas himself and the Young Bucks
mm-hmm.
against Ricochet, Will Ospreay, and Matt Sydal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't seen the whole match. I've seen the highlight reel, and it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
They let him do some crazy stuff in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
So if you haven't checked out that match, do so.
Yeah, for sure.
Good stuff.
That's one thing. One of our goals here going in Raw is to start expanding our outlook on things. Like, we're slowly chipping away at New Japan stuff. We're both going to check out the Tokyo Dome show coming up. And
that starts at 11:30 local time for us, I think.
PM?
Yes.
Nice. It's going to go to 3 a.m.
Yep.
That's fantastic. I can't wait.
I should come over. And we should drink beers, and I'll spend the night.
That'd be great.
I'll sleep on the
couch.
We'll
have a pajama party.
There you go.
That'd be great. So that's one of our things. And so adding Adam Cole to this list, like, we've been trying to get familiar with these faces out there in the indie realm. because we want to bring, we want to be sort of a
well-rounded
pro wrestling
news and entertainment source.
We get excited about something, you know, Adam Cole, I guarantee he's going to be in WWE one day.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's kind of fun to be on the train early-ish.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not early for him because he's been around for a little while.
Yeah.
But
I mean, if you had gotten into Adam Cole in 2012.
Yeah.
You would have been ahead of the curve.
Or even, I think he made his debut in like 2008.
Yeah.
Something like that. So, yeah. Let's see here. Number seven.
Seven.
Broken Matt. Who would have thought? Broken Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy.
He has had quite a year.
Developed an amazing evolution. He evolved into this broken character that made waves throughout pro wrestling.
It made us pay attention to TNA for a little bit, which it we hadn't done in years.
And we're going to check out, I'm going to try to check out Total Nonstop Deletion.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely will. Maybe not tonight, but at least this weekend.
So let's see here. It says here.
His year started off pretty well. He won the Omega TNA title. Well, he won the TNA championship from Ethan Carter III on January 19th. And apparently he's the first wrestler to give EC3 defeat in a one-on-one match.
There you go.
And then this is the match where Hardy turned heel.
Mm-hmm.
And then Matt Hardy dropped the belt to Drew Galloway on the March 15th and then started going, evolving into the broken character. Because on April 19th, he and Jeff Hardy had an I Quit match. And I guess both of them, I don't know if it's kayfabe-wise or not, were badly injured. And Matt was carried down the stretcher. And that's when he started doing the broken thing.
He called Jeff Brother Nero.
That's Jeff Hardy's middle name.
Broken. It says Hardy orchestrated the final deletion on July the 5th. This gave him sole ownership of the Hardy brand, thus getting Jeff to go by Brother Nero. Now, whenever when somebody's broken, you call them by their middle name. Mm. Or if they've been deleted.
Gotcha.
So your middle name's David? Is that true? Brother David.
I don't know.
You don't know? You have no idea?
I don't know.
I know
my first name's And.
I'd be Brother Richard.
Last name, Larson.
My middle name is Dick. It's true.
Brother Dick.
Brother Dick. So, yeah. So, everything after his the final deletion, everything TNA really started to gel around the broken universe.
Yes, that was pretty much the only thing that went right for TNA this entire year.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. But it went very, very white. Very, very right. The final deletion episode, their ratings skyrocketed relative to what they had been doing.
Yeah.
So, and everybody in the wrestling industry. And then he started showing, him and Jeff started showing up everywhere. They headlined one of WCPW's pay-per-view. They showed up at a final battle in a Ring of Honor video vignette.
Wasn't Vanguard 1 there?
The Young Bucks super kicked Vanguard 1.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I think a TV taping. So they started showing up everywhere, and Matt Hardy concocted this Total Apocalypto. Is that what it is?
Tag Team Apocalypto, which is happening tonight.
That's right. Oh, that's going to be a total. Okay.
That's Total Nonstop Deletion, yeah.
And he started inviting everybody. Started inviting people from the WWE.
DX, the Wyatts.
Yeah,
the Rock and Sock Connection.
That's right.
I think the Rock and Roll Express are confirmed to be there tonight.
I can't. It's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be full of surprises.
Exactly. So it's all been really, really cool stuff. His son, who's like two, I think, Maxel, he's going to be making his in-ring debut, I think, tonight as well. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, career rejuvenation for Matt Hardy and, by proxy, Jeff Hardy, who looks to be having a blast. And there was word that WWE wanted to bring him in.
Yeah.
So who knows if that's going to happen. But
He won't have nearly the level of creative control he does in TNA. That's
no, but you know what, dude? If he said, I'll come in for a six-month program, where we can agree on what I'm going to do and this
well, that's,
is set in
that's
stone.
Fine if you well hold on, he can agree to all that with Triple H.
Yeah,
there's one person that has to agree to all that.
I know. I totally get that. But you know, they sat down with Goldberg and said, hey, this is what's going to happen, and they can do the same thing if it's a limited run with let's do these dates. Let me get Jeremy Borash. And we'll produce some stuff for you, and we'll bring the deleted experience.
I imagine so long as none of the major titles are involved, they'd be fine.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of directions they can go with that and remain and keep the status quo afterwards.
Yeah.
Number six.
Six.
The Young Bucks. No other tag team is sort of established. I mean, they won the Ring of Honor titles, the PWG titles, the New Japan
IWGP,
I think junior heavyweights.
Yeah, titles.
Junior tag titles. And they have been everywhere in wrestling media. Like, the Vice just published a really, really fantastic article
on
them.
Did you notice that bit in there where they said, the Vice article said that the Young Bucks are second only to Stone Cold in pro wrestling tee sales?
Jeez. That's not really surprising.
And they have like like 90-something designs up.
Jesus.
Some crazy number.
And a lot.
Yeah.
I did see, like, it was an Instagram post from, I think, Matt Jackson. And it was a screenshot of his emails, and it's all just order, all the pro wrestling tees stuff.
I think in that Vice article, it said they make roughly what a mid-carder, upper mid-carder makes in WWE.
Mm-hmm. It's a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
So that's not surprising.
And I'm hoping working a much lighter schedule.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You get to pick and choose.
Yeah.
So they've actually been around for a while. They actually debuted in 2004. They're now in the Bullet Club, but they're also in their little subgroup with Kenny Omega, the Elite. And so they have, like you said earlier, like with the merch stuff, they're able to push through, because of the Bullet Club, they're able to push the Elite stuff because Kenny Omega wears that, they wear that stuff. And you know, one of the more interesting things about that article, too, is that it sounds like they were this close to being in the WWE because right before AJ and Gallows and Anderson left for the WWE, they signed their new deal with Ring of Honor, and I think they probably have a separate one in New Japan. I'm not sure who they're – I think they have two different deals. I don't know exactly how they'll work that out.
Mm-hmm.
But AJ said, hey, did you sign your deals? Have you signed lately? And they're like, yeah, we just signed. And he was like, damn it. And they were like, yeah, AJ probably could have convinced us to come along with him to the WWE, which would have been fantastic. That would
have been nuts.
That would have been insane. I mean, I think if that was the case, we probably would have seen a bigger push by the WWE to take more advantage of the Bullet Club thing. You know, you would have seen the club thing happen stronger. They wouldn't have been split up by the brand or anything like that.
Yeah.
Maybe they would have. Who fucking knows? let's see here. According to Scoops Notes, they have been in the WWE before, with Matt Jackson jobbing to Chuck Palumbo and Big Show on two different episodes of SmackDown 2008. What was he like, 13 at the time? Jeez. They also portrayed HBK and Triple H when The Miz and John Morrison attacked them.
I had no idea.
So that's kind of funny. That always cracks me up. Like then when you see like Ty Dillinger in like ECW.
Oh, yeah.
WWE, ECW.
You watched their the Ladder Wars match, right?
I did. It was good. It was very creative. I think once you've seen one high spot like that, you kind of seen them. I don't want to say you've seen them all. That's sort of doing them a disservice. It was a fine match. I'm interested to check out the one that you mentioned with Adam Cole.
At
the Battle of LA.
Well, they had another really great match at the Battle of LA. It was them against Pentagon Jr. and Phoenix.
Okay.
That was really good, too.
All right. Did they wrestle two nights?
Two consecutive nights, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Number five.
Five.
Chris Jericho. Y2J.
Drink it in, man.
I like Scoops Notes here. Real name, Christopher Keith Irvine. Why are you telling us that?
So,
he had a great year in the podcast scene.
Yes.
For one thing. With his talk is Jericho, baby. Yeah. Anyways, he came back. When did he actually come back?
I think it was late last year because he was in the Rumble.
I know. He was in the Rumble. And it was always like, okay, so he's going to have this pay-per-view and then he's going to go. Okay. Like at every big four pay-per-view, it's like, oh, this is going to be Jericho. But like...
Well, as he talked about it, he would just sign a series of, I believe, 3-month contracts.
Okay. Oh, okay. 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 It says Jericho took 2016 off from Fozzy to spend time with WWE and other projects.
He's supposed to be going on tour with Fozzy next summer.
He's working. The Fozzy is going to have a new album. They're going to be working on a new album in early 2017. So it does look like sometime between the Rumble, probably Mania, is going to be Jericho's last
match.
And then he'll take a year off.
He is completely revitalized his career. It's been a career renaissance.
Arguably, this is the best run of his career.
Yeah.
I mean, he is Who's more over than Jericho right now? I mean, really. Rollins, maybe.
I don't think Rollins is more over. The New Day.
The New Day. Nowadays, though?
AJ.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
But think about it. AJ and Jericho are both...
supposed to be heels.
Supposed to be heels.
No, I know.
And they both get cheered, but I think Jericho's cheers are a bit bigger than AJ's. Mm-hmm. I think Jericho's like...
AJ's still doing things to try to get heel heat.
Mm-hmm.
Jericho, not so much.
Yeah. It's like, and so much of it revolves around, and I'll say this. It's all because Jericho is Jericho, and he could have used any little silly gimmick like the list to get over, but he chose the list. Like, mm-hmm. the list is just his thing,
mm-hmm.
but it's not because of the list. It's because of Jericho.
Yeah.
People aren't cheering the list. They're cheering Jericho because he does it so great.
Yeah.
And he's had at Wrestle... what? He took on AJ at WrestleMania?
Yep, got
and
the
he
win.
Won. And yeah. so they've booked him incredibly well. Like, they've booked him as a legitimate threat to a degree. Like, you know, he'll still... he hits the code breaker on Reigns, and Reigns still kick out of it.
Yeah.
But that's Roman Reigns.
That's Reigns.
But,
like, the, you know...
he's been hovering around the main event scene for a little while now.
He has been so good, especially the last half of the year,
mm-hmm.
that he has overshadowed the Universal Champion.
Yeah, he has.
Just through the strength of his performance.
Yeah, he has. Still can really go in the ring.
Yep. Still can cut a great promo. Can
with the best of them.
Capture the crowd.
And I like there's been a couple of interesting backstage incidents, yes. as well. He had a backstage altercation with Brock Lesnar after he saw Brock make Randy Orton bleed and concuss him.
Yeah, he was concerned for Orton's well-being. He got
pissed off about that and confronted the freaking beast.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he got into some sort of rumored altercation with Sin Cara over some unknown noises he was making on a tour bus.
Yep.
So he has no problem being the veteran who's saying,
locker room leader,
stop doing that.
Yep.
Yeah. So I honestly think it would be a bummer if he didn't go out on just at least, like you say, at least one day with the Universal title.
I would hope so.
Number four.
Four.
Shinsuke Nakamura. Let's see. He came in right before Mania.
Well, let's go back to Wrestle Kingdom 10.
Oh my God.
Which started his year.
Match of the year candidate right there. Him versus AJ Styles. And it was just absolutely amazing. Like, when I read that he was coming over here, I was like, okay, I don't know who that is, 'cause I don't know shit about nothing. And so I looked at, and when I saw that AJ was coming over, and I think it was after I saw some of AJ's first stuff, and after I saw Shinsuke's entrance at NXT TakeOver, was it Brooklyn? One of the Brooklyns? Which one did he have the Sami Zayn match?
That was Dallas.
Dallas.
WrestleMania weekend.
Oh, WrestleMania. Okay, that's
that was
right.
His debut.
Okay. When his entrance with the music and the light show, and then he just looks like this rock star god, I was like, oh my goodness, look at this guy. He is amazing. And then I went back and I watched that Wrestle Kingdom match from just a couple months earlier. I was like, oh, wow, him and AJ are really, really good. I need to rethink my outlook on AJ Styles. And that completely opened my eyes to both these guys. And ever since then, he's been booked in NXT. And, yeah, we have issues with the fact that he's still in NXT. I would think that's not going to be for another couple months. Like, that's still, like, WrestleMania. He's got to be on main roster by WrestleMania.
You would think. Especially if they're kind of prepping...
rude.
Yeah.
There's, yeah.
And I haven't watched all that Wrestle Kingdom match. I watched kind of highlights.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in NXT they're really focusing on the King of Strong style stuff and having his moveset based predominantly on striking.
Mm-hmm.
But even the few minutes of clips I saw the Wrestle Kingdom match, his repertoire is far more varied than just knees and kicks.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, even before he started working strong style, he has MMA background.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even before that, he has a pro wrestling, traditional pro wrestling background.
Right, right.
So he has a well developed style. That's one thing I kind of wish they would do, let him do more in NXT.
Right.
Is work in some of his various disciplines more so into his approach in the ring.
Yeah. Let's see here. 2016, this year, he was ranked number 7 on the PWA Top 500. In 2015, he was put in the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame. Dave Meltzer put him in the Hall of Fame.
He's the youngest
Oh, is he? Okay. Youngest
IWGP heavyweight champion. All right. Won the belt at 23.
Oh, gee, willikers. Yeah.
And he's 35 now, something like that.
Is he that young?
I think so.
That's surprising. He's only a year older than Finn Balor.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
I think he's
38.
Oh, okay.
He's my age.
Okay. But still, I mean, that's 15 years of experience in wrestling, a lot of different styles.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only the last, I don't know, 6-7 years he's been doing the strong style.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Hasn't been that long, in comparison to the rest of his career.
Yeah. His match with Sami Zayn, definitely a match of the year contender.
Yes.
It was so, so electric. And his feud with Samoa Joe over the past 6 months.
Another candidate for feud of the year.
I mean, has been outstanding. And it sort of did peter out there on the tour scene a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we got four big matches between these two guys. And that's saying something. And they ranged in terms of quality, but the worst Shinsuke Nakamura Samoa Joe match is better than a lot of what you'd see anywhere else.
And as we said earlier, it seems like Bobby Roode is probably going to be his next opponent.
Yeah, yeah. And drop that belt to Roode and then move on and go to main roster and go to Raw because they need him.
Yes.
And that's going to be really, really exciting. And you've said this before about people coming into NXT to build their brand and to build an awareness. And I can't think of a better situation for Shinsuke to have gone through NXT.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even from a selfish point of view, we got to see him live at a small NXT show. And it was fantastic. I literally got to touch the
man. So did I.
I was very excited.
Well, and not only that, we went to NXT Brooklyn. We saw him win the title.
Yeah.
We got to see that crowd.
Yeah.
Hot for Shinsuke.
Electric.
I mean, what percentage of the crowd had Shinsuke shirts?
Got at least 30.
Yeah.
Solid 30%.
No, I would say a lot more than that.
Yeah.
It seemed like. And as we were leaving the arena after the card was over, everybody was singing Shinsuke's theme.
Mm-hmm.
And if he had jumped straight from New Japan to Maine, I don't think that any of that would have happened.
Yeah, I know. I know. I agree.
So,
number three.
Three.
Charlotte and Sasha Banks.
Yeah, we put them on here together because
it's kind of hard to.
Their year has been so
intertwined.
Yeah,
I know. It's hard to talk about one without the other.
Yes.
And it's honestly, it's hard to say, well, who's better? It's like they both bring something different, but equally vital to the game.
Yes.
Charlotte, I've said a couple times, it's obvious that the WWE considers her a foundation, like the foundation of the women's division on Raw and sort of in the larger WWE aspect of things. Everything kind of runs through Charlotte. You think of the Raw women's title as being, that's the main title, in the women's division. But on the other hand, Sasha has such an exciting moveset and sort of this reckless abandon. She's almost like kind of Daniel Bryan in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, Charlotte has the moonsault, and she can work stiff. And watching these two go at it and the chemistry they've developed in the ring has been just an absolute joy to watch. Contender for feud of the year.
And then, we read, reported this on this a few weeks ago about how, I believe it was their last match on Raw, saw a pretty significant increase in ratings in the third hour.
Yeah, that's been
and
huge.
And as Meltzer said, or thought, it was kind of the first evidence that people will tune in for women's wrestling.
Yeah. They built that show and like all the evidence in terms of like the uptick in numbers in the third hour. They were building to that match. So it all was conclusive evidence that, like you said, women's wrestling draws money, especially when it's something big like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it proves that, hey, you put a couple of real, like the type of women's wrestling that we want to see, that we've always known could work, is working.
Yeah. And, even they've actually managed to do a pretty good job of building up the intensity of their feud. Go back to the lead up to the WrestleMania match.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte won. And then who did Charlotte feud with Becky after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much since the brand split, definitely since the brand split, it's been Sasha and Charlotte for the last 6 months. And they've managed to do a great job, at least I think, in continually building up the intensity of their feud.
Yeah.
Because, they've been feuding for 6+ months. I can't really think of an instance where it's gotten stale.
Yeah, I know.
They've had enough surprises. They've had enough really good matches.
There's some. Interesting. There's been some speed bump, like the Hell in a Cell finish.
Yeah,
was weird and awkward. So it hasn't always been like perfect.
No.
But
few feuds are, especially
take
up a better part of a year.
I know.
And then, you know, we don't know how bringing Ric Flair into the feud now with his appearance on Raw a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Or the other week when Sasha won the belt back, how that's going to play into their match at Roadblock, if at all.
Yeah.
You know? So, who knows?
Yeah.
And I would anticipate at least one, if not both, of these women being in the women's title match.
And it's funny because the WWE does seem to be taking advantage of the fact that you've got these two amazing female competitors, and they're using that to be like to be somewhat progressive. You know, they main evented Raw for the first time since Trish and Lita. They main evented a pay per view Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, they had the first women's Hell in a Cell match.
They had the first.
They're going to have the first women's Iron Man match.
Mm-hmm.
On WWE television, granted,
programming,
yeah. Sasha and Bayley had an Iron Man match in NXT.
Right. And that does, it seems like it's opening the doors. You know, that's one thing we've said. I like that this is sort of the end of the line, sort of the, you know, this is it for them, because now they can perhaps bring up Bayley and Nia Jax to make money as well there on Raw.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it should be interesting.
Yeah.
Number two. Second best. The wrestler is at the best 2016.
These last two are 1A and 1B.
Kenny Omega. He is the current leader of the Bullet Club after he basically, AJ Styles, got signed away by WWE. But according to storyline, Kenny Omega kicked him out. Him and Gallows and Anderson, who oddly were on their way out too, teamed up to kick AJ out. And then they took off. He fought in the G1 Climax and won. The first, I believe they call him Gaijin. It means the foreigner, non-Japanese guy to win the G1 Climax.
At least two. I've only seen two of his matches from that tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And both are, well, I haven't seen the whole matches, highlights. And they're both stellar.
Mm-hmm.
The final against Hiroki Goto,
mm-hmm.
really good.
Yeah.
And I think it was the day 18 match that Scoops mentioned here, the one against Tetsuya Naito.
Naito, yeah.
Man.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Incredible.
Yeah.
The pace at which they work is insane.
His wrestling ability is off the charts, because it's like there's I've never seen somebody with such a sense of urgency.
Yes.
And that's something that's like not really tangible. Like, he just works this furious pace, and it's not just that he's fast, it's that it always seems urgent.
Yes.
And that's different than fast.
No, I agree with you.
So
and despite wrestling at such a high speed, he sells still.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like that, the entire story of that Naito match was his knee.
Yeah.
You know, and when he would try to execute like some of his moves that require his knee, he either couldn't pull it off because
the knee would give out. Yeah.
Or the knee would give out and then he would be damaged.
Yeah. But there were some insane spots in that match.
Mm-hmm,
we power bombed him through the table over the barricade and then did the move off the top rope.
Yeah.
Kind of through the table, but his shoulder took the brunt of the impact on the concrete floor.
Yeah.
Crazy. And the match went on. He won. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Now he's going to have a huge 2017. He's set to take on Okada for the World Championship, the IWGP World Championship, Wrestle Kingdom 11. And I firmly believe he's probably going to win it. He's going to be in that elite pantheon of non-Japanese guys to go over there and claim the top prize. And on top of that, he's a terrific promo guy. He's got such an interesting. I've likened him before, and I think he takes much inspiration from like the Final Fantasy video games. He's obviously, he wants to be Sephiroth. And the style of promo that he delivers, it's like English, but in almost a Japanese inflection. And he sounds like a video game villain. And then he'll drop these amazing promos in fluent Japanese. And they're insane. And now, because he's a heel, he says he's not going to talk in Japanese. So it's fantastic. It's really, really cool. He's the lone solo guy in the Elite, comprised of him and the Young Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be welcoming Cody Rhodes as the newest member of the Bullet Club.
Yes, but the Elite kind of exists kind of above the Bullet Club.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be Elite first, Bullet Club second.
Yeah, they seem to be, I want to make money for myself on pro wrestling tees first. And then get my cut from New Japan second. Number one!
One!
AJ Styles!
Yeah, we already kind of spoiled that.
Yeah, we did. Just by virtue of the fact that I think Kenny Omega is trying to do what AJ Styles did, is why AJ's number one, because AJ did that.
Yeah.
He went to New Japan. He captured the heavyweight title. He went straight to the main roster. He debuted in the Royal Rumble to a massive ovation, and he did nothing but stay get to the top and stay to the top.
You know what AJ did that a lot of people, especially Triple H, couldn't do?
Hmm.
Made Roman Reigns look really good in the ring.
Yes. Anybody,
multiple times.
Anybody he steps in the ring with, they end up looking great. Great. Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, John Cena. They had Match of the Year candidate at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So much. He's currently the WWE champion.
Yep.
He gave you a he got you to do a two sweet. Now, if that doesn't spell number one, I don't know what does.
Unless you're going to drop video evidence of that happening in here. You can't really verify
that. It was off
that.
Camera. I'm verifying it.
You know, here's the thing about AJ that I appreciate is that he got put into a program with James Ellsworth.
Yeah.
AJ should not be in a program with James Ellsworth.
Nope.
Went into it, did his job, got Ellsworth moreover.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's a professional.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. He had an amazing run with when they brought in Anderson and Gallows.
Mm-hmm.
As the club, and then unfortunately they were split up by the brand split.
Yeah.
But he went on to capture the WWE World title from, was it Cena? No. Who did he capture it from?
Ambrose.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He beat Ambrose for it. That's
at Backlash,
right.
Yeah.
That's right. At Backlash, of all places.
And then he retained it at No Mercy.
Mm-hmm. No Mercy. This is interesting. Styles pulled a Nakamura and let New Japan know he was leaving only hours after Wrestle Kingdom 10. He then appeared in the Royal Rumble, which was less than a month later, which was late that month.
A couple weeks later.
Yeah, entering at number three and eliminating two people before being thrown out by Kevin Owens. There was like when AJ hit the Rumble, there was like a million stories that like we all wanted to be.
We all marked out for. Yeah, yeah,
marked for big.
Like every time he had an altercation with someone, we thought they were teasing a future feud or match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, Owens versus Styles at WrestleMania. That's going
to
be awesome.
And we invite you to check out the interview we did with him, thanks to 2K17.
Yes.
And because I was always interested, I asked him if he regretted not doing the NXT thing, and he just laughed it off and said, no, I'm on main roster.
He said, I'm the world champion.
I'm the world champion.
But then he went on to say that he'd been through Ring of Honor, so he'd kind of gotten
that vibe. Yeah, that experience is something that he was familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Yeah, I like Scoop says here, the worst thing that happened to AJ in 2016 was James Ellsworth, whom he lost to three times. But it's been, regardless of whether or not we like it, it's been a hot storyline.
Yeah.
It's been a hot storyline.
It's been the A storyline on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And even when there was rumors that AJ was coming to WWE,
mm-hmm.
I think we were both a little iffy on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Partially because we weren't that familiar with his work.
Yeah. And I didn't want NXT to be TNA Lite.
Yeah.
That was my main issue with it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we heard all sorts of stories about the Styles Clash.
Yeah, and people getting hurt from it, and we're just kind of worried about it. But then you hear Jim Ross say that AJ Styles is the best wrestler in the world.
And you have to start paying attention.
And Scoops here mentions that Kurt Angle was the best wrestler he'd ever worked with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are two pretty good opinions.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then when he debuted at the Royal Rumble, I think even then we were both pretty impressed with the reaction he got.
Yeah.
And then as we saw his work, we were convinced.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I think, his match with the Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that I think really said, okay,
mm-hmm.
AJ is good.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, AJ Styles had the best. I don't think it's even debatable. Kenny Omega, is he 1B? We really love him. But like I said, I think that the difference is Kenny Omega is trying to do what AJ Styles has already done.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty significant.
I think we can agree that the top two are kind of 1A, 1B. There's a pretty significant gap.
There is a pretty significant gap between everybody else. I would agree with that. With the exception, maybe, of Shinsuke. Who's number three again?
Charlotte and Sasha.
Oh, Charlotte and Sasha, yeah. On the biggest stage, those women have really killed it. So, anyways, those are the wrestlers we felt had the best 2016.
Yeah.
Steven Larson on that list somewhere because we had a really killer 2016 as well.
If there were a list of wrestling podcasts that had the best 2016, I guess we'd be on that one.
I think it would be pretty far up.
Probably. Maybe. Probably, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, the fellas who have been on the Raw pre-show or the pay-per-view pre-show.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe them. But maybe one day we'll get there. Anyways, let us know in the comments what you guys think what wrestlers you thought had the best 2016. Yes, there's a lot more to choose from. These are the ones we felt had the best. And stay tuned tomorrow. We're going to take a look at the ones who didn't have the best. Have the best 2016. Could have gone better.
Yes.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Until then, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.